Yes, it's that time of the week where we talk all things gardening, and I'm joined by Judy Sharp. Hello.
Hello, Amanda. How are you? I'm sorry I wasn't here last week.
Oh, that's okay. I got to talk to the lovely Scott.
Oh, I hope he behaved himself.
He did. He always behaves himself. He's, yeah, he's a good boy. You've raised him well.
That's good, Amanda. When I was driving out here today, I really wanted to ring you when you were talking about everyone's hair.
Oh, yes.
When all the listeners were ringing in. And I know this is a semi-gardening question or conversation. When I was working at the nursery, I had black hair right down past my waist.
Really?
Yep. And because it was hot, so I'd pull it up in a bun. So every time I walked into work, my husband said, "Oh, here's my little old wife again." And I said to him one day, "If you say that again, I'm going to get it cut off." And he laughed. And so the next day I went in and he did it. So you know what I did? I went into David Jones and I said, "I want an afro perm." And they wouldn't do it for half an hour. They got the manager out. So in the end, they did give me the afro perm. So I went from hair down over my bum, oops, and, you know, to a afro perm. So I walked back into the nursery and he was serving someone and he nearly fell over. He couldn't even talk, but he didn't take me anywhere for 3 whole weeks.
Because he was so embarrassed.
Well, he didn't like it, did he?
He didn't like it. Well, so
is that a good hair story?
I think it's a great hair story. I think I might have known you when you had your hair
down long.
Yeah, no, not down long, just the perm.
Oh, right.
The dark hair, yeah.
So maybe.
I need to see a photo of you with your long hair.
Oh, yeah.
To bring that one in.
I will. I will, Amanda. So we better talk gardening
now. We should. What are we talking about today?
Oh, okay. Well, I thought, have you noticed all the autumn trees in flower?
Yes, I have, actually.
Mainly the Sasanqua camellias. They're having a ball at the moment. Magnolia Little Gem, they're out in flower as well. And Tibuchina Alstonville.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
That's a purple flowering tree. Now, it's called Tibuchina Alstonville because it was propagated in Alstonville, New South Wales.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful tree and it's covered in purple flowers at the moment. So, you know, the autumn garden is starting to look a little bit better, particularly with the rain we've had, which is good.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so, what about the humidity? Does that affect it?
It affects me.
It affects me too.
No. I think their little roots are down far enough the humidity doesn't get to them.
Right.
But the Sasanqua camellias are just looking beautiful. And every time I drive past a Tibuchina Alstonville, I think of the family that developed it up in Alstonville.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Are they anywhere else?
Oh, yes, but they did a lot of different colours. They did pinks and whites and all different colours. Yeah, so it's quite a popular tree, easy to grow.
And we've got Terry on the line from Sydney.
Hello, Terry. Have you got a problem?
Oh, just a little bit more advice, please, Judy, and hello to Amanda there.
Hello.
I spoke to you last year about my rose. I've only got the one rose and a Princess de Monaco.
I did your
advice of the chicken manure, and then 3 weeks later, I did the dolomite. It's looking pretty good. What can I do now? Should I reapply the dolomite, or am I supposed to keep applying it every couple of weeks, or what should I do?
Okay, Terry, I'll tell you what I've just done. I've given mine a bit of a prune. I call it the summer prune, even though it's in autumn, and you will find your rose now will really respond to that and get all new shoots and new flowers on for you. But after I did it, I applied sudden impact for roses to them.
Okay, sudden impact. So will I just give it a little bit of a cut?
Oh, yes. Look, only about a third off, Terry.
A third. Okay. I gave it a crew cut last year and it's come back so good. It's done multiple blooms on the off each branch.
That's wonderful. You must have done a good prune, Terry.
Oh, well, I think it needed it. It was a bit neglected. So I've done the chicken manure, then 3 weeks later you said do the dolomite, and then I've just left it. I haven't done anything else, just cut, you know, debuttered and whatnot.
Okay.
So a summer prune and then do a sudden impact.
Sudden impact for roses, Terry. It's fantastic.
Okay. All right. And how often should I do that?
Oh, look, you know, you'll only do it a couple of times. You know, a good feed up now will get them flowering right through almost till you do the big winter prune.
Oh,
and then
okay.
In winter you'll go back to your poultry manure.
Okay. Oh, I really don't want to give it too much love because it's been neglected for so long and it's doing really well.
Well, I'm glad you got flowers on it anyway, so...
Oh, it's doing really, really good. It's doing great. I think it just needed that really big crew cut, and now it's oh gosh, I thought I'd really lost it. Now it's almost 6 foot tall. Some of the branches have come out, but they're happy blooming, and then I'll just cut it back then.
So if you've wait till the blooms finish a little bit. Don't cut it while it's blooming. You know, mine had actually stopped because of the heat and everything, so that's why I gave mine a good prune, but only a third off, Terry.
Okay, all right, I'll be a little bit more refined with it this time. So, okay. And your advice to grow something along with it, you know, just sort of not a ground cover but just a shrubbery sort of thing in the front of it, around it.
How wide's the bed, Terry?
Oh, it's about a metre, I think, maybe a metre and a half around.
Okay, look, what I'd do, I've got in front of mine a box's hedge, hedge. And, you know, I just keep it pruned low and not too wide.
Okay. All right. Is sort of anything you recommend with flowers or anything like that?
Oh, there's a lot of things you could grow with flowers on, but it depends how much work you want to do.
Okay. All right.
I'm leaving that decision up to you, Terry.
All right. Good on you. Thank you so very, very much. All the best to you.
Thanks for the call, Terry. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, next we've got Sue from Merriweather.
Hello, Sue. What can I help you with?
Oh, well, Judy, you were talking about the lovely Tipitina trees, and we've got a very old tree in our backyard and it would be close to 100 years old.
Wow.
And the old fellow who used to live here told me that it was planted when he was a little kind of boy, and he's long gone. But we've pruned it and it was going well, and but lately, the last prune we did, we got all the shoots coming up but no leaves. And now the leaves that we've got on it are all crispy on the end. It's got foliage around. We've got foliage around the base of it. But it's just, it used to be beautiful, and there's no blossoms or anything on it.
Sue, you know, we haven't had a good summer, though, have we?
No, we haven't.
No, but
it was a little bit on the sick side probably last year. It was starting to get a bit unwell, and I thought, oh, gee, I don't want to lose it.
Yeah, but 100 years old, that's a good lifespan.
Yes, it is. Don't tell me he's on his way out.
Well, keep your fingers crossed. But, okay, so have you given it, you don't prune it now while the flowers are on?
No.
Okay, so when it finishes flowering, I'd suggest maybe you give it some cow manure.
Okay, yes.
And, you know, prune it lightly then, but don't do too heavy a prune now because we are going to come up to winter.
Right, okay.
Yep. And when you're 100 years old, you really feel the cold, don't you?
Yeah. Should I not have so many things around the base of it? Would there be a mould problem? I just sort of wonder if it was overwatered or...
No, look, honestly, you wouldn't be overwatering, not with the weather we've had, with the summer we've had, no.
Okay.
But what kind of plants have you got around the base?
What do you call it, like a bird's nest, and it's sort of there's a bit of tropical garden, you know, there's what are those other ferny things? I can't even know the name of them.
No, that's all right, but bird's nest and that, they can get fairly thirsty too.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe remove some of them if you want to encourage the old tree to survive.
Okay, well that's great. So some cow manure and just a light prune after...
It finishes flowering.
Okay, well, thanks so much. Thank you so much because it was such a beautiful tree, and I look at every other tree that I see. I think, oh, look how beautiful they are.
Oh, they're fantastic this year. They really look good, don't they?
Yeah, they're gorgeous. Okay, thanks so much for your help.
That's okay, Sue. Okay, thank you for the call. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, next we have Ray from Beresfield.
Hello, Ray. What can I help you with?
Good afternoon. We've got hedges in my yard. And they're covered with these small white moths, and I believe they are army grub.
Oh, army grub.
I believe these moths are.
Right, okay. So have you dug around the soil?
No.
Just check around underneath the plants to see if there's army grub down there. You know what they look like, don't you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, devils.
When's the best time to... I've got some granulated stuff to attack the army grubs. What can you do with these moths?
Well, you need to spray them, don't you? So
Yeah. I've tried Malathon and a few other odds and sods and still...
Okay, so you've got Malathon?
Yeah.
Okay, well, spray with Malathon. That's the way to go.
Well, I've done that.
Oh, and you're not killing them?
They're taking the good stuff.
Have you got a bit of white oil you could put in with the Malathon?
Oh, yeah, that's an idea. I never thought of that.
It will make it stick on their wings.
Right.
We sound nasty, don't we, poor little moths?
Okay.
Because you know what the army grub will do, don't you? You don't want them laying any more.
Yes, I don't.
No. Okay. Good luck with that, Ray.
When's the best time to spread this granulated stuff on the lawns?
The granulated stuff on the lawn?
Yeah, for
the army grub, right, okay. Look, you could do it now. There's no problem with it.
Right, thanks very much.
That's okay, because now, we're not concerned now with so much heat. No, I would do it now. It won't hurt at all.
Okay.
Good luck with it, Ray.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Ray. Okay, we've been busy this morning, this afternoon. We've got Mike from Swansea on the line. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, Mike. What can I help you with?
Hello, Judy. I've grown status this year and it's one of those old-timer plants and I didn't do too bad with some of them because I sort of planned them out singly. Have you ever grown status?
Yeah, I have actually, yeah. Quite pretty, aren't they?
They are lovely, yeah. And some sort of fail, but I didn't know whether they'd be better in clumps or what, but I planted them out sort of a metre apart in between other shrubs.
Right, okay. So aren't they multiplying?
Not at this stage. This is only their first year.
Oh, right, okay, right.
Now, what's the story with them? Do they have little corms or roots or...?
Yeah, they are a perennial. My voice then. They are a perennial, so have you fed them up with anything, Mike?
Give them a bit of flourish now and again.
Why don't you do it every week?
Why don't I?
I love that flourish. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so the flourish or cow manure with you.
Yeah, that's right. So a little bit of both won't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, because your soil would be very sandy there at Swansea, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So a little bit of cow manure and the flourish.
Hmm. So what can I expect? Like the plants to die right off and then you'll have shoots coming up or what?
Well, you should. You definitely should. Have they started to die off?
One of them started to die off and it's got a couple of little shoots coming up, but I didn't know if there were corms that you could dig them up and plant them somewhere else.
Well, you probably can, but I think now we're going into autumn. I wouldn't dig them up now. I'd just hang in there now and see what happens with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Patience is not my best.
Why did I guess that, Mike? You didn't have to tell me. Okay, so let's do the flourish and do a little bit of manure as well.
And see what comes back.
See what comes back, yep.
Okay, you seldom see anybody growing them these days.
No, because, you know what's happening in gardens now, I've noticed when I drive around, everyone's putting in succulent kind of things and cactus and whole beds of them.
Doesn't help the bee population, does it?
No, it doesn't. No, definitely not, sir. Definitely not, Mike.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we should stop sort of telling people to grow them. Because people have a garden full of succulents. But
that's because they don't die.
It's because Amanda must have some because that's why she came in and said they don't die.
I can't grow anything else.
But no, you see whole gardens now that are planted out in them, Amanda, and I suppose people are just lazy. They don't want to be digging out weeds and that, unfortunately.
But bees aren't interested,
Well, we'll have to encourage them by you doing your garden the way you want to, Mike.
Yeah, we've got plenty of flowers, but shortage of bees.
Well, thanks for your call, Mike. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. I knew Judy would know something about status.
Well, I don't know whether I know enough for you, but I think you're right on the right track, Mike.
Righto, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
And we've got Jerry from Cessnock on the line. Thanks for holding, Jerry.
Hello, Jerry. What can I help you with?
I've got them toadstools growing in my garden out the front, right. And I cannot get rid of them. I've tried the bicarb and vinegar and everything else. Some grow twice the size after doing it, and some of them die. So I was just wondering, what can I do to get rid of them?
Oh, so, Jerry, where are they, in amongst your shrubs and everything?
No, they were just on the lawn.
Oh, on the lawn. Okay, rightio. Well, you probably need to do something with a lawn chemical.
Right.
Have you tried that? What have you tried?
I've tried the vinegar and the bicarb.
Right, okay. Look, I'd go and get some lawn, something to cure problems in the lawn.
Right. So, okay, then. Thank you.
And that's all. You know, I think that will solve the problem for you.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different products you can get for the lawn. So you just want something that's going to, like if you've got weeds in the lawn, you'll find there's a weed killer for them. So
I have lawn food and things like that for the lawns and that, but that's not doing anything.
No. You've got to get a poison. You've got to get a poison. Yeah.
All right, then. Thank you very much.
Good luck with that, Jerry. Ring back and let us know how you go.
I will do. Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Next, we've got Dennis from Belmont. Thanks for holding, Dennis.
Hello, no worries.
Dennis. What can I help you with?
Good afternoon, Judy. I've got a calla lily.
Yeah, calla lilies. They're beautiful.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I planted it some time back. It's about 10 centimetres diameter with little heads on it, so little growing. And it fired up and I had probably five lots of leaves coming up. I got one yellow flower off, and then the leaves started dying one at a time. They were dying from the base, and they'd fall over, and you just grab them and pull them out, and they're like, they're rotted.
They've rotted, right, okay.
And then eventually it went all the way around. And then I've dug down with me fingers, and when I got to the bulb, it's like it's a mushy, white, mushy thing that you can just squeeze it out.
Right, okay. Does it look like it's a fungal disease?
Fungal? Yeah. Like you can just scrape it out.
Yeah. So was that in a damp spot, Dennis?
Well, yes, it is actually. When I get down deep, it is damp.
Right. Okay, well, that might be the problem. They're fairly hardy.
Yeah,
they are fairly hardy. Have you got any fungicide at home you could water over them?
Yeah, I have used a fungicide.
And it hasn't worked?
No, I flooded it too with it.
But we don't want it to get any wetter, see?
That's right.
Dennis, why don't you dig them up and put them in a pot?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll because try that you'll be have more control over the amount of water they're getting too.
True.
Because often you see them growing in a pot and in flower.
Oh, that's probably it. Well.
Yep. So time to go out and dig them up and put them in a pot.
I'll do that straight away. Okay. The other question, if I may.
Yes, certainly.
I've got a raised garden and I've got this bulbs coming out all over the garden. They're only thin. They are about 50 centimetres high. And they're in clumps. And when you pull them out, they either break or if you dig down further, they're little round ball things about the size of a marble. But they're all interconnected with a root.
Right,
okay. It goes over the whole garden. And if I break them off, which I do consistently, three or four days later, they're back through again.
Okay, Dennis, have you perhaps planted a grafted, isn't that dreadful? Have you planted a grafted tree or something there, Dennis?
No, I've got two blueberries.
Right.
There.
A grafted passion fruit was the word I was looking for. I was concentrating on lily. No passion fruit, right.
And I've got 6-7 pineapples there.
Right, okay.
And they've all got fruit on them.
Yeah.
And that's it, other than these filthy weeds. I've tried digging them out, with a shovel. I mean, digging the soil right out.
And you can't identify them at all.
No, well, they don't come to a flower or anything like that. They just keep moving along the garden.
Right, okay. So are they moving between your other plants?
Yeah.
They are, right, okay. So we can't use a bit of zero on them.
Well, if they're interconnected, couldn't I kill one end of it?
Well, you could try that, yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's why I wondered if you'd had a grafted passion fruit in there.
Oh, no, I've never had that.
Right, okay, well...
These things are right close together, really close.
Yeah, okay.
And what sort of herbicide would I use for that?
Oh, just some zero.
Zero, that'd work?
Yeah, that should work, but you can't get it on the other plants.
They wouldn't be called nutweed, would they?
Well, I'm not sure, I mean, your description is...
You could send Judy a photo via gardening@2nurfm.com and she can have a look at it for
good
next
idea.
Week.
Good idea,
so, yeah, that's,
Amanda.
That's gardening@2nurfm.com.
Okay.
Let's have a look at that, Dennis, and see if I can identify them.
Right. Thanks very much, Judy.
Okay.
Thank you
for the call. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We've got Jody from Madawi on the line. Thanks for holding, Jody.
Hi.
Hello, Jody. What can I help you with, dear?
Yeah, we've got a really big lily pilly hedge. It's probably about 2 metres high. Now, all on the inside, it's very dense. On the inside, there's all this white, I thought was like mealybug, but it's like marshmallow. And it's all over all the little branches inside, and I've tried white oil and I've tried pyrethrum and I just can't seem to kill it off.
Okay. That sounds a little bit like scale to me.
Okay.
So have you tried it with white oil?
Yes.
You have tried white oil?
Yeah.
What about if we added some malathion in with the white oil?
Malathion and white oil.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's try that and see if that makes a difference. But it does sound a bit like scale. You seeing any ants or anything running up and down?
I haven't noticed.
Right, okay. Keep your eye on it and see if you can see any, because the ants are a good indicator that you've got scale, because they go up and down to eat it.
All right. So if I combine the malathion with white oil, how much do I use?
Well, you can buy malathion and white oil mixed up together,
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you can buy the mixed one. But if you you just follow the instructions on the malathion and the white oil if you want to do it that way.
And just have a 50-50 at the...
Yeah, 50-50, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And while I'm treating that, is it okay to give it a hard cut back?
Yeah, it is. Definitely now you could give it a hard cut back. But okay. I'm sure you probably have, I'll guarantee you've probably got scale there.
Okay.
So check on those ants and see if they're going up and down to eat it.
Okay. All right. I'll check that out and I'll try the white oil and malathion mix. Thank you
very
much.
And Jody, you might get back to us and let us know if that solved the problem.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
I would appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
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 Now we've got Ian from Warrabrook on the line. Hi, Ian. You there?
Hi, how are you going?
Hello, Ian. What can I help you with?
I've got a mandarin tree. It's got plenty of mandarins on it, but it's got these holes in the trunk.
Holes in the trunk?
They're quite deep too. It's not like a little hole like a borer where it's like a 1 mil hole. It's a big hole. there's a few of them, and it's sort of dampish around it.
And only in the trunk?
Yeah, there's about three or four in the one sort of area, just where the tree comes up as single trunk and splits into the branches coming off. There's mainly on the one.
And are they still fruiting? Is it still fruiting?
Yeah, it's still fruiting all right.
Right, okay. And you've had a good dig around there. You haven't got possums going into the tree, have you?
I don't think so. I only just noticed it there this morning.
Right, okay.
I thought, oh, what's that? I've never seen anything like that before.
No, but you are getting fruit on it.
Yeah, yeah, it's a heap of mandarins on there.
Yeah, so when you dig around that hole, those holes, what are you seeing in there?
It's like a powdery wood type thing, like something has
eaten. Ah, it's borers.
But it's a big hole.
But borers can do that too.
Can they?
Yeah, if you've got powder in there, that might be borers.
Yeah, it's got that sort of eaten up sort of woody stuff in there.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got to find a solution to that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you probably have to find a product that's for borers that you can spray it with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's pretty well what you've got by the sound of it anyway. You don't want them to travel and to keep eating more and more of the tree if you've got mandarins on there.
Well, that's right. I don't want to cut the branches off.
No.
Because we've got mandarins there.
Yeah.
Wait
till they ripen and then you might have to cut the branches off.
Yeah, I would cut it off so far. I didn't know the mandarins there.
No, well, just wait. Let's be patient. But in the meantime, see if you can find a product for borer.
For borer. Okay, then I'll try that, Judy.
Okay, thanks, Ian. Okay. Good luck with
it. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. Newcastle Hunters 2NURFM 103.7. This is Gardening Talk Back, and we have Vincent from Maryland on the line.
Hello, Vincent. What can I help you with?
Yes, good afternoon, Judy. Just with reference to the gentleman that phoned in a few minutes ago, to do with the bulbs underneath the ground and like a weed structure growing through his garden.
Yes, yes. What do you think, Vincent?
I think it is. And I've got the same thing throughout my garden, and I think it's asparagus officinalis. That's correct. Yeah.
Right.
And the research I've done indicates that it originates in South Africa, and it is actually classified by the departments over here as a weed. Now, it took me hours upon hours, day after day, for over a week. Square metre after square metre of interconnected bulbs, a little bit smaller than a grape. I think they act as a water reservoir, for want of a better word.
Right.
And they're all interconnected like a big mat underneath the ground.
Vincent, and how did you get rid of them?
Well, the government site says that you can poison them, but they'll still come back. The best, you've got to actually physically remove them.
Right, okay.
And it's very over-intensive.
Yeah.
And they don't come out in a flower, but once a year they do come out in a small red berry.
Right, okay. So how do they get in there, Vincent? How did you work out they got in there?
I really don't know, because I've actually had them in hanging pot plants.
Right.
So the only thing I can think of is birds. They might eat
birds
the berries.
Or insects or...
Yeah. But to find them in hanging pot plants, that's... Yeah, it really done my head in, so to speak.
Yeah.
And when I started digging, I kept digging and digging and digging and digging, and it was like I said before, square metre after square metre of all this interconnected matted bulbs.
Right, okay. So they are in the asparagus family, are they?
That's what it says, yeah. Asparagus, you're not going to ask me to pronounce it again, are you?
That's all right, darling. Officinalis, okay, yeah, no, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that, if the gentleman, that might be what it is. If it is, Roundup will have some effect, but the official advice is to actually physically remove them.
Right.
A lot of labour there involved.
Well, I did suggest he'd use some Zero or Roundup to try and get rid of them, but that sounds
like... It'll be a short-term solution.
Right, okay. So you've just got to dig them out.
That's correct. And what will happen also, I've noticed, is that several metres away, a new shoot will appear.
Oh, Sounds like a pest, doesn't it?
Well, that's why in Australia they've officially classified them as a weed.
Right, okay.
And it's not the first thing to come from South Africa.
Right.
Botanically that is classified as a weed as well. So maybe that might help the gentleman with that. But,
yes, I hope he's still listening. I'm pretty sure he might be still listening, and otherwise I'll bring it up again next week.
Okay, well, good luck.
Oh, thank you very much. Look, Vincent, I really appreciate that kind of assistance because sometimes, you know, when people describe something to you, you know, just on the radio, it's difficult to actually get a picture of what it actually looks like.
Yeah, I'm actually looking out the back now in one of my pot plants, and just in the last week, another one started to shoot. It's very similar to when you think you've got rid of all the onion weed.
Right, okay. Well, we don't want either, do we?
All of a sudden, here it is.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that call, Vincent.
Thanks very much. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Bye.
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 Wow.
Interesting.
I know.
It's going to make hard work to get rid of that.
Well, we'll see if it is that, because if we get a photo sent to us through gardening at 2NURFM.com, it may be the same thing, or it may be something else.
Yeah, I hope we do. But that was a very interesting conversation with Vincent.
It was. Now, just quickly, you were talking about trees in flower?
Trees in flower. Was I talking about Maria and Durantas?
Probably.
Well, with your Marias and Durantas, they're hedging, generally used for hedging. And at the moment, they'll start to get really long shoots on them. Now we've had a bit of rain. So it's time now to prune off the long growth on them, and then fertilise with a bit of cow manure.
Lovely.
Okay.
Any sort of cow manure? Cow manure.
Well, you see, why use cow manure? Because it's acidic. And they like acidic.
Right, okay. Well, there you go. You learn something new every day. I learn something new every time I sit with you, Judy. We'll
thanks,
catch up
Amanda.
With you next week.
Yeah, lovely, darling. Thank
Gardening
you.
Gardening Talk back to a new RFM.